guys had a great time in your small groups tonight. Yeah. You guys had some good discussions, some good talks. And I'm probably just going to repeat a lot about what you guys have taught about already. But here's what we're doing. We're in a series called Battlefield. And the whole point of the series Battlefield, right, is that there is this other world that we don't always see, right? Last week we talked about spiritual warfare. And we talked about sometimes things happen in life. And we read a Bible verse together that talks about, man, our struggle is not flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. And so we talked about there's this other world that is happening the same time that the physical world is happening. And I know it's kind of hard to understand and get your mind around it, but the bottom line is that spiritual warfare exists. And sometimes there are other forces, right? There are other forces working against us that are wanting us to fail, that are wanting us to make the wrong decision, right? And tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk about the main part of that. I want to have a conversation about Satan, okay? I want to have a conversation about the devil. And it's not to scare you, it's not to make you uncomfortable, but it is to talk about the truth, to talk about what he does, what is his personality, what is his plan. And so that's what I want to do tonight. But before we get there, I want to ask you guys a question. Raise your hand if you just love to trick or treat. Come on, here we go. I do too. And let me tell you why. I love to trick or treat because it's candy for days. You know what I'm saying? And candy is great. And I love candy and you guys love candy. And I remember there was times when, anybody ever been a superhero for Halloween? Superhero? Anybody going to be a superhero this year? Superhero? Anybody? All right. Well, I remember one time in particular that I was, and this is a little old. You guys may not even know who I'm talking about. But there is a new one. So I was the Karate Kid for Halloween. You guys with me? I mean, listen, man. I had a blast. I was like going around in my neighborhood, like doing the crane, you know, on people. Not really. I wasn't kicking people in the face, all right? But I thought I was cool, man. And I had the headband, and I was ready to go. I was like, you know, the karate guy, even though I couldn't. I mean, I've never done any karate ever and all that kind of stuff. But I, for a night, I was the Karate Kid. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you've seen this, maybe you haven't, but there are some weird costumes that people wear. Are you guys with me on that? As a matter of fact, I brought a few pictures just to kind of show you. This first one, I mean, it's a mop. The person's a mop. Are you kidding? How about this one? Check this one out. A praying mantis for Halloween. I mean, that is just, I feel like that would be so heavy that she would just kind of like hit the ground. Here's one. Here's this one. What? That is awesome. That is awesome. This is my all-time favorite, though. Check it out. Man, I really don't get that. I don't get, like, I want my child to be a Chipotle burrito for Halloween, but that's what that is, wrapped up in gold foil. Unbelievable. But here's the thing too. Sometimes parents, none of the parents in this room, I know that cannot be true, but sometimes parents think it's cool to dress their kid up in this. Really? Who would ever dress their little child up as a little devil? No way. No, you can never do that. You can never do that. Now, all joking aside, I want you to stay with me. All joking aside, if you really think about it, okay, if you really think about it, our culture, if it's Satan or if you call him the devil or Lucifer, our culture likes to downplay who he is. Our culture likes to treat it like Satan's really no big deal. For some of you, maybe when you think of Satan, you think of the cartoon character that's like the angel's on this shoulder and the devil's on this shoulder. And so the angel's saying, don't take the cookie from the cookie jar. The devil's saying, no, take the cookie. It'll taste really good. And they're just arguing back and forth. And we think that's who the devil is. We think that's who Satan is. Or we think he's just this little guy in red tights with a pitchfork, right? And horns coming out of his head. And the problem with that, guys, is that that's not who he is. That's not who he is. As a matter of fact, there was a survey given in the U.S., right? And 60% of the people in the United States all said that they didn't believe in Satan. That they didn't believe that Satan was real. The bottom line is this, and this is what we're going to kind of rally around tonight, all right? If you got a bulletin in your chair, which all of you or got a bulletin in your small group, I want you to write this down. Here it is. You've been lied to. I've been lied to. You've been lied to. We have been lied to. And we think that Satan's just no big deal. He's just this little funny guy in the red tights, and he just kind of arguing with an angel. And man, I want to be real with you tonight. He is a force to be reckoned with, and he has a plan for you. We're going to get into that. But now, Halloween would not be fun without candy, would it? I mean, candy, Halloween. So here's what's going to happen. If you can handle it, and I believe you can, some of your leaders have bags of blow pops, all right? During this video, they're going to hand you a lollipop. You can have one. But I want you to watch this video and pay attention to what these people say. Here's the bottom line, students. I know, maintain yourself. It's just a blow pop, okay? But listen. I need you guys to listen because this is very important. You have been lied to. And you need to understand that tonight. You have been lied to. Satan wants us to think that he's no big deal. Satan wants us to believe he's the cartoon guy on the shoulder. He wants us to believe that he's the guy in red tights with a pitchfork and fire around him. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for me, right? Because Satan is a liar. And the Bible says it like this. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Here's what that means. Satan cannot tell the truth. It is not in his character for him to be truthful. It is not in his character to tell you the truth. His native language is to lie to you. His native language is to trick you, is to deceive you, right? And of course, he wants our culture to think that he's just not that big of a deal. That we don't give the credit that he really does deserve. Now, here's what I want to do over the next couple of minutes. I want to talk to you about Satan's personality and Satan's plan. Before I get into that, though, this is what I want you to understand, okay? The Bible says this. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans not to harm you. I want you to understand, before we even get into the conversation about Satan, that God's plan is bigger. That God's plan is already won. That God's plan is greater, that God is greater than he is. But it doesn't mean that you don't need to know what Satan wants to do. It doesn't mean that you don't need to know who he is. So let me give you four quick things. We're going to go through these really quickly. First of all, Satan was created as an angel. You guys may or may not know that, but Satan was created as an angel. He was created by God as the most powerful angel. He was good, he was wise, he was righteous at one time. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this about Satan. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adored you. So Satan was created an angel. Secondly, Satan is prideful. Satan is prideful. The bottom line is that he thought he could be greater than God was. He thought he could do greater things than God did, his creator. The Bible says this. It says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So he let his beauty, he let his power, he let his righteousness even get to his head, and he rebelled against God. Thirdly, Satan became a fallen angel. He became a fallen angel. He rebelled against God. And as a result, the Bible says, so I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings. So Satan, once in heaven as an angel, was thrown out of heaven because he rebelled against God. And fourthly, Satan is an imitator. He disguises himself. The Bible refers to Satan as, it says that he masquerades himself as an angel of light. In other words, he puts on a mask to portray himself as an angel of light. He wants you to think he's not a big deal. He wants you to think he's just the cartoon character. But this is what the Bible says about Satan. It says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And when it comes to Satan, he has one plan, and that is to steal, that is to kill, that is destroy. That's his plan. That's what he wants to do to you. That's what he wants to do to me, right? And I know that's extreme, but I want us to think about this. For example, God's desire for you, God's desire for me is that we would be full of joy, that we would be joyful, not because of circumstances, not because of things that happen to us, not because of things that happen in life, but just because he's God, because he created and he gives us joy. He is the author of joy, right? God wants us to have joy, but Satan wants to steal your joy. Satan wants you to not be joyful. He wants to steal it from you. Or for example, God wants you to have big dreams, and he wants to use you to bring other people to come to know him. But Satan wants to squash your dreams, and he wants to kill your desire to be used by God. He wants you to think things like this. He wants to plant ideas in your mind that say, well, man, I'm not good enough. Or I don't have anything to offer. Or man, I'm just a really young middle school kid. I can't do anything. Well, man, I don't think God could ever forgive me for that. He wants to kill any dreams that you could have for yourself. And thirdly, it says that he wants to destroy us. God wants to use your story because he has an incredible future for you. Satan wants to destroy your future. He wants to take your future away. He wants to take you out. He wants to lie to you. Sometimes, let me talk to just the girls in the room. Okay? Just the girls. The bottom line is that you've been lied to. Okay? And let me tell you what the lie is for you, for girls. The lie for girls is that God wants you to be content in the way that he created you. He wants you to have self-worth. He wants you to think, because you are, that you're beautiful. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But Satan wants to take your self-worth. Satan wants you to think you're not good enough. Satan wants you to think that God can't fulfill everything that you need. He wants to take your self-worth. For guys, God wants us to be confident in who he has made us. God wants us to be confident that, he wants us to depend on him for everything that we need. But you know what Satan wants to do? Satan wants you to think that, oh, I can handle it on my own. I don't need God's help. I don't need anybody's help. I got this on my own. I'm good to go. He wants us to think we can handle everything by ourselves. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that we are to depend on God. But again, Satan, he's the father of lies. He's the father of lies. So this is what I want to do. I want to talk about, what do we do? Satan's plan, steal, kill, destroy. How do we combat this? What do we do? Number one is this, and I want you to write this down. This is huge. One is that we need to respect his plan. We need to respect Satan's plan. We need to not look at him as a cartoon character. We need to not look at him as, he's not a big deal. He's a really big deal. He is a force to be reckoned with. Sometimes we look at Satan and we think, God, he's really scary. He's evil. He is out to get you. He wants to destroy your life. We need to take him seriously. We need to take his plan seriously. The Bible says it like this: your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking or looking for someone to devour. Man, I don't know about you guys, but if you ever just go to Google and type in a lion devouring a hyena, watch that video. Ask your parents. If they say yes, watch the video. It is pretty ugly. Why do you think the writer used the lion as a representation? Because that's what Satan is. That's the way he lurks around, seeking who he can devour. So respect his plan. Secondly, resist Satan's lies. Resist his lies. Let me tell you, the only way, and I'm just speaking from experience, and I want you to just hear me out. You cannot resist his lies without Scripture. It's just not going to happen. The only way for you and I to resist the lies of Satan is to know and read and understand and use Scripture. The Bible says this. It says, resist him standing firm in the truth. What is the truth? Scripture. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I want to give you guys a thought that has really helped me in my relationship with God and how I try to identify times that I just need to be really, really on my guard, meaning I just need to be prepared. I need to be ready. I need to be watching for how the enemy is going to try to attack me. Here's the four things. I want you to write these down. When I am hungry. Now, you guys think about what happens when you get hungry. You get in a terrible mood. You get hungry, why wait? Eat a Snickers, that's right. But you know that commercial? They just get mad at the world. Because what happens is that when we get hungry, we do the same thing. And it leads to this. Then we get angry. And Satan loves to attack us when we're hungry. He loves to attack us when we're angry. Because when we're angry, we get mad at people. And then when we get mad at people, we get angry at people. Then when we get angry at people, people don't want to be around us. So then we're all alone. And that leads to this one. Then we're lonely. And then we think to ourselves, it's just me. I'm just by myself. I know mom told me to not play video games, but she's not here. So I'll just play video games a little bit. I'm alone. Nobody's here. Well, God is. God knows what you're doing. He's there. He can see everything. Last one is this, when we're tired. Satan loves to attack us when we're hungry, when we're angry, when we're lonely, when we're tired. It just happens all the time. You say, well, I'm usually all of those things. Exactly. Because he loves to attack you. And he wants to destroy and steal and kill. The last thing is this, and we're going to do this together before we leave. Use Scripture and prayer. Use Scripture and prayer. You guys may or might not know this, but Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, right? Now, I can't even imagine what that would be like. I mean, I can hardly go a day or 3 hours without food, okay? Jesus went without food and water for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, And then what happens? Then the enemy comes and tempts him, comes and attacks him, not physically, right? But tries to tempt him to do things that he knew that he shouldn't do. And what did Jesus do to defeat him? What did Jesus do to go back at the enemy? He used Scripture. He used Scripture. He quoted Scripture back to Satan. He quoted Scripture back to the enemy. Every single occasion, Jesus used Scripture. And students, that is why maybe we sound, as leader, your smaller leaders, myself, that's why maybe we sound like a broken record at times when we say, you need to read the Bible, you need to read the Bible, you need to get into the Word, you need to open the Bible, you need to memorize the Bible, you need to pick a verse and memorize it. Why? Because it's that important. If Jesus used Scripture to defeat the enemy, don't you think he would want us to do the same? That's the lesson. But see, when we're not in the Word, when we're not reading the Word, when we don't know the Word, then we can't know Scripture. And sometimes we don't have the weapon that we need to defeat the lies of the enemy. We don't have the weapon we need to defeat the lies of the enemy. This is what I love to do. I know at times, a lot of times here, man, sometimes I will just quote Scripture out loud. People may think I'm a lunatic. I don't care. Now, I'm not telling you to go to math class tomorrow and yell Scripture out loud. That might not be a good idea. Maybe you should try it and see what happens. Probably not. But I will quote Scripture out loud, and I'm telling you, man, it helps. It helps. It makes things different. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this in 1 John 4. You guys may have done this already as a small group. But in 1 John 4, 4, it says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. This is what you've got to know before we leave tonight is this. Satan has a plan, but God's plan is greater. Satan has a plan, but God's plan is bigger. God has already won the battle. That doesn't mean that we don't fight the battle, that we don't get into the battlefield every day. But the bottom line is that God's plan is greater than Satan's. And that's what this verse is saying. The one who is in you, because Jesus, if you are a Christian, he is inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And the one that is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So as we wrap up, this is what I want to do. I want us to three times say this verse out loud. And I want you to say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. I'm going to lead us the first one. Here it is. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You guys join me. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Second time. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Last time, mean it. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen, amen. As we leave, okay, I like that excitement. All right, as we leave, let me recap. Respect Satan's plan. Know that he's out to get you. Resist his lies. Remember this, resist his lies. And thirdly, pray or use Scripture and prayer. Use Scripture and prayer. Let me pray for you guys. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that your plan is bigger, your plan is greater, you are stronger, you are mightier. And we can claim that tonight, Father. But I pray for these students. I pray, God, as they deal with the attacks of the enemy at times, trying to lie to them, trying to make them believe things that are just not true. I pray, God, that you would help them to see that. God, I pray that you would help them to quote that Scripture out loud. He that is in you is greater than anyone in the world, greater than any power of the world. And so, God, help us to do that. Help us to live for you as we leave tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.